Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, right? He didn't just like, whatever. No, he came up with a plan, and he presented it to Pharaoh, and he committed it to God. So that's where we were last week. Genesis 41, verse 37. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." So my first point today is titled, "Who's the boss?" Right? Who's the boss in this passage? And there's actually more than one. Okay, the first boss that we see is Pharaoh. I think I have a picture there. Pharaoh. Oh, it's kind of blurry. It's Pharaoh. He's riding on a bunch of people pointing at the pyramids. Okay. In Egyptian, Pharaoh, this name of his, it literally means great house. It's great house, and he was the head of that house. And remember, Pharaoh is the head of the most powerful military in the ancient world. Pharaoh is the leader of the most culturally advanced civilization the world had ever known at that point. Pharaoh, he wasn't just a king. He was a god king. Pharaoh wasn't just an official holding an office. He's not just an official holding an office. He was the whole house. He was the great house. That's Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you can think of, he's the top of a pyramid, right? Everything flowed down from Pharaoh, and everything flowed up to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh, who's the boss? Pharaoh is the boss. And then he makes Joseph a boss, right? In our passage today, he makes Joseph a big boss too. Verse 40 says, "You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." The people shall order themselves. It can be translated another way. All my people will kowtow to your instruction. Do you guys know what kowtowing means? It's kind of like, you know, the Chinese, once, wait, once. They would like kowtow, right, to your instruction. They'll bow down. It literally means to kiss. To kiss the earth. The people are literally going to kiss the earth before you. All of Egypt will submit to your leadership. All right, so this is what a Pharaoh appoints Joseph, and he says, all people are going to submit to you now. I mean, this is a big step up. I mean, Joseph has tasted leadership before. Remember in Potiphar's household, right? Joseph was kind of a leader or a chief of the servants, but now he's the head of all these government officials. He's kind of like a chief of staff, but way, way, way more powerful. In Egypt, this position that Joseph now holds was called the vizier. I got a picture here. It's the closest I could find, a vizier. And he would go around and do what Pharaoh wanted and do what he wanted and keep others in check. And imagine our government today, right? Our government today. Imagine if the vice president and the chairman of the Fed, the attorney general, the secretary of defense, the head of agriculture, the postmaster general, right? All of these offices are rolled into one and held by one person. All these offices rolled into one, held by one person. That would be Joseph. That would be Joseph, second only to the Pharaoh. That's a powerful man. So who's the boss? Pharaoh's the boss. Joseph is the boss. But there's one more boss that we see in these verses. Who's the big boss? The big boss. You see it? Look at what Pharaoh says in verse 38. "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? And God has shown you all this." So even Pharaoh, who's the boss of bosses, realizes that there's someone even of higher authority than he. Even Pharaoh, a pagan king, even a pagan god king, recognize that there's someone of higher authority than him. It's interesting that this is the second time, if you believe it or not, the second time that this phrase, the Spirit of God, is used in the entire Bible up to this point. The Spirit of God, the second time it's ever used. The first time it was used is in Genesis 1:2. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So this is the God that Pharaoh actually acknowledges, right? The God of creation, the King of kings, the boss of bosses of bosses. He is the big boss, the big one. And guess what? For those of us who call him Lord, he's our boss, too. While we may serve under the guidance of others, deacons, pastors, elders, never forget who's really in charge, who's really our boss. Well, this is my first point for today. Remember who's boss. Can you say that with me? Remember who's boss. Remember who's boss. As a pastor, one of the things that I really, really dread doing is asking for volunteers to serve in different ministries. Recruitment. It's a struggle for anybody, especially for pastors. Whether I'm recruiting for student leaders in the youth group or worship team members or dishwashers for hospitality, Sunday school teachers, ushers, whatever, recruitment is always a struggle. And I always feel like I'm begging or asking someone a favor. Hey, will you do me a favor? Or I have to sell the benefits of serving. I feel bad because I know ministry, it requires long hours and a lot of personal sacrifice. And I feel like, oh, I don't want to inconvenience everyone. You know, I know everybody's busy. Everybody's super busy. I don't want to inconvenience you. Sometimes I feel like I even have to apologize in advance. Oh, hey, I'm really sorry to have to ask you this. I know you're really busy, but would you please prayerfully consider serving? I mean, it'd be really good for you because of X, Y, Z. Please, please, pretty please. I almost sound like a very unpopular boss asking or trying to convince an employee to work overtime or to work weekends. To work weekends. Right? That's how I come across. That's how I feel sometimes. And then I catch myself. And then I remember that simple truth. Hey, I'm not the boss. Right? Remember who's boss. I'm not the boss. Right? It's not my job to convince you to serve. It's an invitation. I'm not the one asking you to, hey, you're not serving me. Right? I'm giving you an opportunity to serve God. Remember who's boss. It's not me. It's not your elders. It's not even your deacons. Remember who's boss. How good it is to know it's not all about me. How freeing it is to know that I'm just a messenger. For those of us in ministry, serving in whatever level and whatever capacity, remember who's boss. He's the boss. All right. Verse 41, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. In this next section, we see Joseph. He's getting dressed to impress. Right, first, Pharaoh takes off his signet ring, And he puts it on Joseph's hand. The signet ring, it signified official authority. It was oftentimes handed down from generation to generation, from pharaoh to pharaoh, and whenever legislation was stamped with that royal signet ring, it was considered, it was done. It could not be broken. Right? There were no appeals, there's no vetoes allowed. You couldn't go back to change that law. Pharaoh was giving Joseph his very authority. Imagine working at Facebook or Google, okay? And you've been given the master password, like the secret, super encrypted master password, right? And ultimate authority. You could do anything you wanted. You could make people say what they didn't say. You could stalk people that, you know, anything you wanted. You could do it all. Right? That's what this signet ring, right, symbolized. Ultimate authority. Secondly, Joseph is clothed in fine linen, right? We see he's clothed in fine linen and a gold chain put around his neck. Again, this symbolized his elevation into the upper class. Linen was extremely expensive, and gold was, you know, obviously the most precious metal. Joseph, he's getting suited up. He's getting suited up. I didn't show a gold chain, but I have a gold tie. Close enough. He's getting suited up. Next, Pharaoh has Joseph ride in his second chariot. So Joseph, he gets a fancy new car. It's a fancy new car. And he doesn't just get to ride in the motorcade, right, near the back or something, you know, with the police escorts and you know, the traffic lights are turning off as he's going, you know. He doesn't just get to ride in the back of the motorcade. No, he rides right next to Pharaoh. He's Pharaoh's right-hand man. Pharaoh also gives Joseph a new name, an Egyptian name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. And so I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Scholars aren't exactly sure what this means, but here are some suggestions. It's possible that this name means revealer of secrets. Could mean a savior of the land, or a wise man fleeing from pollution or adultery. Either way, we're not quite sure what it means, but it's quite a great honor to be renamed by Pharaoh himself. It's almost like being knighted, right? When someone does something amazing or awesome or worthy of recognition, they get knighted, sir, madam. Right? Joseph is being honored here. And lastly, this is probably the most interesting one, Joseph, he's given a trophy wife, right? Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah. Potipharah was a variation on the name Potiphar. Potiphar's daughter. Okay, it's probably not the same Potiphar that we met earlier. That previous Potiphar, well, that would have been kind of funny. That would have been some poetic justice, but the Potiphar that we met earlier, if you remember in Genesis 37:6, it says that he was the captain of the guard. Right? This Potiphar is the priest of On. So it's not the same Potiphar, although that would have been pretty interesting. But he gets this trophy wife, right? And later we learn that Joseph, he gets all this, he achieves all this by the age of 30. Right? He's only 30 years old and he's got all this. You know, and I think back, man, where was I when I was 30? I was still in school. I was studying. I was stuck at home changing diapers. I was living in a tiny two-bedroom condo and driving around a beater of a car. Right? And then there's this guy. He's all this. Right? Where were you when you were 30? Well, some of you aren't even 30 yet. So Joseph, he gets all this. He achieves all this. He's given all this. And there's actually a lot of parallels with the creation story, if you think about it. God appoints Adam his vice regent, remember? And God puts Adam over and in charge of all the land. God even provides Adam a wife, right? And likewise, Joseph, he's given it all. Authority, wealth, he has a special relationship with the king. But we don't see Joseph craving or seeking after all these things. He doesn't crave these things. the passage, as we read it, it portrays him very passively. He was given. He received. I mean, he doesn't refuse, but he doesn't grab either. Joseph, in his innocence and wisdom, he doesn't hunger after power. In fact, what does he even say? He doesn't say anything at all, right? Because while we may be impressed with all this, all that he's received, I don't think Joseph is all that impressed. I don't think he really cares about all the glitz and the glamour, the pomp and the circumstance. You know, Joseph, he just wants to serve God, to be used by God wherever and however he can. Used by God wherever, however he can be. And Jesus, he calls us to have the same mind. In Matthew 20:25, he says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles," okay, pharaohs, officials, "they rule it over them. And their great ones, viziers, exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever be first among you must be your slave." Joseph had literally been a slave before. And now that he's given this responsibility and this title, he's this great ruler over many, many people. People are literally kowtowing to him. He still serves. He still has a servant heart. You don't need all this stuff to serve. In Christian ministry, we serve the needs of others. So this is my second point for today. Would you say this with me? Serve real needs. In ministry, we serve real needs. Okay. Brothers and sisters, fellow servants of Christ, let's not become hypnotized by all of this great stuff. Right? You don't need the title. You don't need the diploma. You don't need to have it all figured out. You don't even need all the resources to begin with. You don't need a position. You just have to see a need and be willing to serve wherever and however you can. I mean, that's the heart of ministry, and God will provide the rest. Especially for those of us who have experienced or achieved some sort of success in ministry in the past, remember what it was like to be the little guy, the lowest one on the totem pole, just starting out. Those of us who teach, remember what it was like to learn. Those of us who give, remember what it was like to have very little. Those of us who do administration, remember what it was like to know very little about how the church actually ran. We take these things for granted now. But we all have humble beginnings. We all have humble beginnings. Before we can be great, we should know what it's like to be nothing. And before we can be lifted up, we should have tasted rock bottom. Before we can pour out, we need to have received the grace of God. Otherwise, how can we really know the needs of those we serve? How many of us actually relate to this or have all this? So point number one, do you remember that? Remember who's boss. Point number two, serve real needs. We don't really need more success in the church. We don't need this. We need people who have been hurt and healed, and we need them to go and heal the hurt. Or we need teachers who have been taught to learn, and then they go to teach. In this church, we want to serve real needs, real needs. We don't need people to serve their egos. We don't need people to serve their egos in this church. Okay, verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of these 7 years, which occurred in the land of Egypt, and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it, and Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. So this is the end of our passage today. This is the end of our sermon series on Joseph. He's successful. He is very successful. By trusting in God, by keeping his integrity, and by being a bold witness, Joseph is able to save many lives. Everything went according to God's plan. The 7 years of abundance produced great fruit. He stored up the grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea. See, we can see the harvest was indeed plentiful. God brought it about, just as he said. This leads me to my last point this morning. God bears the fruit. Say that with me. God bears the fruit. The harvest, it's not really in our control. We can't force fruit to be born, or we can't force grain to grow quicker. It reminds me of a Chinese idiom. There was an impatient farmer who tried to pull up the grass sprouts. He couldn't wait. He wanted rice, right? He planted a bunch of rice, and he wanted the rice to grow faster, so he pulls it up. Ba miao zu zang. He pulls them up. It's not up to us. We can't force these things. I can't make people share about their spiritual condition by doing more pastoral visits. We can't convince people to Christ as just doing more gospel sharing and doing EE and doing this and that. We can't force the fruit, because ultimately the harvest is the Lord's. We're just workers. We're just workers. We sow, we plant, we water, we even get to harvest. But God is the one who bears the fruit. God bears the fruit. I told you the story before, how hard it was. Last summer, I tried growing grass in my front yard. Right, there was this big dead spot. And I tried everything to kind of try to grow this grass in this dead spot in my lawn. I bought these two different kinds of grass seeds. And on the packaging, it says guaranteed to grow to anywhere, right? Uses half the water of normal seed and grows even in the shade and even in the hot blazing sun. It will grow, guaranteed, right? I bought two different brands of grass seed, and I just flooded that little thing. I watered the lawn religiously for months. Nothing. Still, nothing grew. On the other hand, so this is my front yard. In my backyard, there's this area of my backyard. It's literally gravel. Okay, it's gravel. Okay, a little bit of dirt, but mostly gravel. And I left it alone. I didn't look at it for a couple months. Guess what? Boom. Right? I go back like 3 months later, boom, this gravel area in my backyard. It's just, grass is up to here. I'm not even kidding. The grass is up to here. It's so high that it can't even stand. It's like wilting, you know? The grass up to here. I can stand up to here, and it starts wilting. There are weeds the size, the thickness of small trees. Have you ever seen a weed the thickness of a tree? Like, I had to use my shovel and dig it out. It was a weed. It was not a tree. It was a weed. Okay. Craziest thing. I put all this care and time and effort in my front yard. Nothing. In the backyard, it just grows. The craziest thing. Because it's not up to me in my yard or in the church. It's the same thing. God bears the fruit. Okay. So, just to wrap things up quickly, let's run through our 3 points again. Number one, remember who's boss. Number two, serve real needs. And number three, God bears the fruit. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Joseph. We thank you for his obedience, his integrity, We thank you for his willingness to be used by you, Lord, just by being faithful to the situations you've placed him in. He was able to serve you anywhere and everywhere. Father, we pray that we too would be servants like this, that we would always remember you, that we would look around us and see the real needs of people, that we're not just trying to serve our egos or fabricate needs, but we really serve the needs of the people. And Father, help us ultimately to trust the fruit into your hands. Whatever fruit that we wish to see, whether it be conversion, whether it be learning, or even just actual other kinds of service, help us to just trust the fruit into your hands, because Lord, we really can't do anything. It's up to you. So Father, help us to submit, but also to be faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, can you stand with us? Let's sing this last song in response. It's been a while since we've done this. Somehow it's in God that we live and move. It's through him that we have breath. It's through his forgiveness that we can live life abundantly.
Jones' mentality has gotten us into a lot of trouble. We chase after all those false idols that cannot even sustain us and bring us peace. Forgive our stupidity, Lord. Forgive us when we believe that if we could only win the lottery, everything would be okay. It is your Son, Jesus Christ, who leads us in the ways of happiness and peace, sustaining us with his life-giving bread. Nurture us again, Lord, with this bread of life, that we may truly focus on the ministries and missions you have set before us. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. We have a time of fellowship after service. We do have a special Mother's Day video that we're going to share before we dismiss. But just to give you a little bit of information about the fellowship hall today. So when you enter in the fellowship hall, all of you are welcome, but there are three specially decorated tables for all the mothers that are in the congregation today. We have a special breakfast for all the moms. We know that some of the moms have to teach Sunday school, so we please ask that you just give priority to those moms that need to head out to class at around 11 o'clock so that they could get their food first. There is a big feast waiting for you there. There is also a gift for you in front of your plate. So it is a nice little succulent plant to represent the forever love, because these plants never die. So these plants are really resilient, just like you as well. And so we ask you that you could take one of them with you as well. They're not there just for decoration. They are a gift for you to take with you as well. For the rest of us who aren't moms, we will be feasting on each other's good company and delicious conversation, because there is no food for us. So, but please gather and just fellowship with each other, catch up with each other, and please help serve the moms their food as well. So after the video, we will ask Pastor Jim to share the benediction, and then we will be dismissed. And again, please give priority to those moms that need to teach Sunday school. So thank you very much.
Hey moms, we're so glad you're here. Today is your day, and we wanted you to know that we love you. You could have decided to stay home and relax, but you're here with us, and it means so much. Being a mom isn't easy. It can be fun and rewarding, but it can also be very challenging and stressful. And sometimes it's hard to know if you're getting it right. But you should know that being here today, it's an important part. In Proverbs, the Bible says, "Train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." So you being here today, in the house of God, surrounded by friends, family, and even those visiting, is such an amazing example. You are seeking more of Jesus and worshiping unashamed. The young men and women here are watching, and as they grow, they'll remember and do the same. So thank you, moms. Thank you so much for being here. We pray that God will bless you by renewing your spirit and drawing you closer to Him, so you can continue to be a godly example to all those around you. Happy Mother's Day.
Sometimes when I am sleeping so early that you wake me up. love Kennedy.
I love you, Mommy.
Thank you, Mommy, for... Thanks, Mom, for making me breakfast. What she cooks.
Happy Mother's Day.
That she always be nice to me.
Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom.
Okay, Isabella, when Mom does something for you, what do you say to your mom?
My mom takes me to see a Christmas to my Santa. I see my Christmas Santa and my home later.
Thank you, Mom.
You say.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you for cooking.
Thank you, Mom.
Cool?
Yeah. And cooking for me.
For me.
Do you also say something else to Mom?
For her to cook us breakfast. Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
She takes care of me. Always don't forget about me and help me. So, happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Thank you for taking care of me. Happy Mother's Day. She's always forgiving me. Thank you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
I appreciate my mom because she cooks for me and cares for me. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Giving birth to Happy Mother's Day.
She helps me with my homework. Happy Mother's Day.
I appreciate my mom making food for me. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for being my mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you because you care about me. Happy Mother's Day.
She takes care of us. Happy Mother's Day.
So I like my mom's cooking, and that's what I appreciate her, which inspires me to learn how to cook. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thank you for taking me to dance every week.
Dear Mother, I love you. I love you and thank you for taking me to school. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I love you, Mom.
I appreciate how she always helps me when I need help and always takes care of me when I'm sick. And she's very thoughtful for me. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for homeschooling, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happiest Mother's Day. I appreciate my mom for helping me in my math contest, which is very hard. And also, I appreciate my mom for, just helping me a lot.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for bringing me on vacations and taking me to school every day.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for cooking every day for me. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you.
She cooks my dinners. Happy Mother's Day.
I appreciate my mom waking up really early in the morning and making me food. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. Thank you for always being there for me and providing me with a great role model. And happy Mother's Day. I love you.
I like how she makes food for me every day, and happy Mother's Day.
Thanks, Mom, for everything. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mom, for teaching me so many things in life. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. Thank you for helping me with Chinese a lot every day, and happy Mother's Day.
The one thing I appreciate about my mom is how she makes so much great food for me.
Thank you, Mom, for waking up early and driving me to school every day. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom and Cody. One thing I appreciate about you is thanks you for your companionship when I'm studying. Thank you. Oh, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mom, for raising me for 12 years. Thank you for being there when I always needed you. And thank you for cooking for me. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Mom, for making food for me for 12 years. And happy Mother's Day.
I just kind of appreciate that even if I tease her, I know that she still loves me, and I also love her back. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. We appreciate you taking care of us.
I like how my mom has unconditional love for me, and no matter what I do, whether it's good or bad, her love is, well, yes, unconditional and everlasting. Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for taking so much time to support me in everything I do. Happy Mother's Day.
I appreciate my mom for taking care of me and doing all the nice things that she does for me. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. That was a very nice video. Let's close out so that the moms can get some breakfast. Huh? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the mothers in our midst, the mothers to be. We thank you for just these wonderful role models of unconditional love and such great providers. A lot of great cooks, it sounds like. Father, we thank you so much for just giving us our mothers as a illustration and an expression of your love for us. Father, we thank you for their service and just how they just continually serve us and serve the church and serve their families. And Lord, indeed, mothers are such great servants. So we thank you for how you've taught them, and we hope that you will continue to teach us to be servants as well. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. All right, mothers, go get some food.
Where else would I go? Surely my God.